Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We got a lot to cover before we hand off to Yankee baseball in about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Yankees Rays over at the stadium on a beautiful night. CP the franchise to talk Knicks in a few minutes. More of your telephone calls will set you up for the baseball evening. But right now, it is your Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. By Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery, anything can happen in Jersey. I'm going to openly admit something. This Cinco de Fivo is either going to be the greatest Cinco we've ever done or the worst 3 minutes of radio in the history of the Evan and Tiki Show.
I like it.
I am throwing the ball downfield. I am running a play. If you are a longtime WFA and Afternoon Drive listener, around this time, before the Kentucky Derby, this was Brad Thomas.
Kentucky Derby.
Okay?
Yeah, I remember that.
So we're going to cover the Kentucky Derby the only way I can cover the Kentucky Derby, which is, if you got a Kentucky Derby party tomorrow, I'm going to give you the five best ways to make a horse sound to impress your friends.
What?
Are you serious?
Oh, my Lord.
Here we go.
Number five.
Number five is... Here we go.
Number four.
You can go with the classic walk. Here we go.
Number three.
Nay. Classic nay. Here we go.
Number two.
All right.
Number one.
And this is more of the lip quivering nay. And those are your five horse sounds you can try at your Kentucky Derby party tomorrow. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby.
So wow. Would you say that was a hit or a failure?
It was a hit, but it was the laziest one you've ever done.
Lazy? No, that took acting. I actually think it was the opposite of lazy.
Yeah, I would think he had to prepare.
I did prepare. I practiced these out loud on my entire Long Island Railroad train in today.
Is that right?
Yes. And people were looking at me. Why did you keep naming?
I would have been on YouTube watching the sounds of voices.
That's amazing.
Just to analyze.
So try those out.
I think it was great.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Sean. I didn't even realize the Kentucky Derby was this weekend. I completely forgot.
I kind of forgot myself.
Now, usually around this time, I will ask Sal Licata every day, is the NL East over? Sal is not here today, so I have a replacement question that I'll ask every day until Sal is back. Hey, Tommy Lugauer, Game 6, Knicks-Celtics, falls on the same night as Mets-Yankees Juan Soto's return to Yankee Stadium. Where will you be on Friday night at about 7:30?
I will be at Madison Square Garden for Game 6, Knicks-Celtics.
Caveat to that. What if I don't have tickets for that game?
Why would you not have tickets?
Well, maybe someone else has them. I don't know.
That's the one you have to go to.
Well, who has to go to
you.
It?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Either the Knicks are going to get closed down, or you're taking Tommy to see the Knicks close out or extend the series.
Well, hold on a second. I'm a Met fan.
Okay.
I'm going to be at Yankee Stadium on Friday night for Yankees-Mets. I'm not going to be at Knicks-Celtics. Okay. I'm not a Knicks fan.
I forgot about that game.
So and
that's
doing,
the Juan Soto game, right?
That's the Juan Soto return
By the way,
game.
Yankee fans, do not boo Juan Soto. Yeah, just stand up, turn around, face the back of the stadium, and do nothing. Do not boo.
So
do nothing.
While Tiki's doing that, and I'm cheering him because he's on my team and my scorebook is in my lap, I'll ask the question again. Where are you going to be at 7:30 the night of Mets-Yankees while also Game 6.
On the Chase Bridge in your seats for Knicks-Celtics Game 6.
Let's say I don't have those
You
seats.
Do have them. What do you mean? What, are you going to leave them under your bed? You well, have
let's
them.
Let's say I gave them to somebody else.
You're not
giving them to somebody else.
You never know.
So, no, if you're doing anything, you're selling them.
If you... Okay.
Well, what do you want me to break in?
Did you sell them already?
Have I sold them already?
I'm not commenting on that.
The worst.
He's already sold them. That's so exactly what that means.
If you don't have tickets to Knicks-Celtics, and it is a very tough ticket... Where are you going to be at 7:30 the night of Game 6 and Mets-Yankees?
I guess I can't break into Madison Square Garden, so if I don't have tickets, I will be at Citi Field. Excuse me, Yankee Stadium.
So you're going to go to the Yankee game, and how are you going to watch the Knicks game?
On my phone.
Oh, my God. What a
What do you mean, interesting?
No, just...
No. So, okay. You have the tickets. You can give me the tickets. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, sell them. You have a family. But yes. The fact that you're not going to give them to me and then you're then going to get on me.
I didn't get on anybody. I was asking
for staying at the game because I assume we're going to be broadcasting from there. So I would be staying at the Met game.
Yes.
Or the Subway Series game, whatever you want to call it, the Yankee game. What else would you want
me
to do?
Tell me.
Not watch the game on my phone?
I want you to understand something. I'm not giving an opinion. I'm asking the question. No. Your buddy Sean, who you walked out on an hour ago, is the one who gasped. I'm not gasping. Are you gasping, Teak?
No, I'm not gasping.
Okay,
at all.
So then I have no opinion on the subject.
Okay, what would you suggest I do then? If there are no tickets and I can't, you know, basically break the door down at MSG to get in there, what is your solution?
What I would do?
Yeah.
I'd be at Stans. I would go to Stans where I'd have the Knick game on the TV, I'd have the Yankee Met game on another TV. I'm a part of the atmosphere, and that's it. So that's what I would do.
There's an issue with Stans, and it's a great establishment. It's filled with Yankee fans. I don't want to be in there watching the Knicks game.
So is Yankee Stadium.
I understand. At least there'll be some Met fans in there. I doubt there'll be any Met fans in Stans during the game. It'll be Yankee fans.
That's fine. That's his answer. So apparently, if he has tickets, he'll be at the Garden. If he doesn't have tickets, he'll be at Yankee Stadium because he'll have tickets for Mets Yankees. What if you have tickets for none of them? What do you do?
Stand in the street somewhere?
I hope people realize that this is a real situation. Like, Mets-Yankees, that Friday night is potentially, if there is a Game 6, going to go up against a Knicks-Celtics.
Directly, too, right?
Almost directly. Look, the Met game's at 7:05. I'm sure the Knicks game will be 7:30, 8 o'clock, something of that nature.
So it's directly, basically.
Yeah. Let's go to Kerry in Sayreville. What's up, Kerry?
Hey, Kerry.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm all right. This is our day. This is our day. It's Tommy's day. This is the one few times where Nick Pan can wake up in the morning and be happy. And I don't like that Evan's dangling these tickets in front of him. Like, you know, I just don't think it's fair. So I invited Tommy. I'll be in Boston Wednesday for Game 2. I invited Tommy to come with me to Game 4 on Monday if he wants to come.
You got to say yes to that.
And I'm here, Kerry, to publicly accept your invitation.
See? Look at that.
Now,
treat Tommy better than you.
I'm not a fun person. I'm really not fun to sit with. I'm going to warn you. My whole section's crazy.
Kerry.
I'm loud.
I usually go to games with Evan, who is the epitome of fun.
The worst.
So
I won't be scoring anything. I won't be writing or scoring anything.
Now, Evan will tell you this. I don't usually, buy beers, but... For Kerry, because you're bringing me to a playoff game, whatever you want. And you brought me a bobblehead at the American Dream.
That's a very nice gesture.
This is a good person here.
So you're saying, Kerry, it doesn't matter what happens in the lottery an hour before the game? Like, it doesn't matter who wins, you're going to take Loogie no matter what?
She's a Knicks fan, not a Nets fan.
Well, maybe if the Sixers win.
I'm not a Nets fan, but I agree with Tiki. I think the whole thing's fixed. Sixers are getting the first pick.
Right. Hold on 1 second. Kerry, let me put you on hold. So, Tommy, you get her information, and you guys are going to have, a date, I guess.
We already have the information. Kerry's my good friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, then hang up on her. And we don't need her anymore.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you so cruel, man?
I wasn't cruel. I put her on hold so Tommy could get the information.
Kerry's my running buddy.
How about that?
So we've been running marathons for a long time together.
Is Kerry's husband going to be at the game with Tommy?
Apparently not.
Oh, really?
Her husband can't make it that evening.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at you.
Good for you, man.
Look at you.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
I could see the wheels turning.
Well, I'll tell you
the
this.
The happily married man.
I'll tell you this.
And Carrie's happy.
If the Nets win the lottery, I'll be in the building too, and I'll come by and
no,
say hello.
No! Then wait, hold on. Then who are you going to the game with?
I don't know, but
I'm not interrupting their date, Evan. Please stop.
Okay, I won't say hello. I'll say hello to other people. Anyhow, joining us right now, he is the face of New York Knicks fandom. He is the creator. He is the host. He is the brains behind Knicks Fan TV. I have enjoyed some of his performances over the last couple of weeks, really just the two, the ones that they lost. And that, of course, is CP, the franchise CP. Congratulations. That was a hell of a win last night. Good talking to you, man. How you feeling?
Ev, happy Friday. Mr. Barber, how we doing, man?
Fantastic.
Shout out to Luki, man.
All
how
good,
we, how we doing, man?
I'm doing great. I want you to walk me through, because as an IBO, as an independent basketball observer, Last night gave me indigestion between the swings and the anger and the excitement and the pain. Walk me through how that 2.5 hours felt for you watching this, especially amongst Knicks fans last night.
It was a classic cardiac Knicks affair, man. I mean, we're used to it as Knicks fans. We've been seeing it all year. We've seen it for years. And this is what the Knicks do, man. This is why you need a pacemaker close by, because it is not for the faint of heart. I mean, to go up 15 in the first quarter, second quarter, it's all but gone, and Detroit takes the lead off of a Malik Beasley three-point heave at half court.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get back on track in the third, and then the fourth quarter, it all goes down the tubes. The place is rocking. The pressure is rising. These guys, the Knicks are just making boneheaded play after boneheaded play, you know, not seeing the offensive movement. It was rough, man. I'm not going to lie to you. The watch party went from raucous to you can hear a pin drop. But, you know, they just had to make it close, because as we've seen all year, you keep it close and Brunson will deliver. And it was a shot for the ages, man.
Right. Now, I think when you get to this point, you start talking about the one good thing you'll take away from the first round series and one bad thing. The one good thing, you just said it, it's Jalen Brunson. He can be clutch at any moment. But if there's something that really worries you that you saw in this first round series, what is it? Is it the disappearance of whoever on certain days? Because Cat was was yesterday, a couple days ago, it was both Cat and Jalen. Like, what worries you most going into the next series?
it's the disappearance of the ball, the ball movement, man. Like, they seem to go away from what gets them out to these leads. They started off at the gates really well, and it was by cutting, by moving the ball, by setting guys up, by getting their paint touches. And then in the second and quarter, and those fourth quarter runs by the Pistons, and listen, give credit to the Pistons. Their defense can be very stifling at times. But, you know, the Knicks, when they face those pressure-type defenses, and we've seen this in the regular season, they tense up. They don't move the ball. They pound the ball a little too much. It becomes way too much isolation. And then before you know it, all the momentum is going to the other team. And that's the biggest concern
so,
right now.
So let's get to the isolation. Because yeah. I heard you after the loss that made it, well, game five. I'm losing track of these freaking games. Yeah. And it was, dude, we play too much iso ball. Dude, Jalen Brunson's playing too much hero ball. And I understand the critique. But wasn't that last night, too, in the final 2 minutes that we're all going crazy about? It's the same thing. So we're good with it or we're not good with it? Where are we with it?
I mean, Evan, over the course of a game, you got to get other guys involved. You got to get other guys into a rhythm. Now, when it comes to your final 2 minute offense, you're going to have to live and die with it. But with Jalen Brunson, the clutch player of the year, he's shown you that he's good for it more times than not. And it was so interesting because it was almost the play before the final 3-pointer where Ausar Thompson stifled him.
Yeah.
He stifled him into a shot clock violation. And so it was very frustrating to see, man. But like I said, with the game on the line, they just had to keep it within striking distance, and he delivered again, man. It's incredible.
And look, that's the difference in the series. Going into this, look, we all have respect for Cade Cunningham and what he can be. He's only 23 years old. But Jalen Brunson has already proven that he can be ice in the veins in moments like this. And you're 1,000% right, because Cade Cunningham was not ready for that moment. We saw it in the final few minutes of this game. We saw it throughout the series. Meanwhile, Jalen Brunson, who did not have the greatest start to the fourth quarter, won for his first 11. Keep it close late. Jalen will make plays. Cade Cunningham won't. And that's essentially what we saw in the final few minutes of this game.
And it's no disrespect to Cade Cunningham. He's had a marvelous season and deserves a ton of credit. He didn't win most improved, but he deserves a ton of credit for turning this Pistons season around. He tripled their wins, and he spearheaded a lot of that. But, I mean, the takes that he was the best player in this series had no logic to it. It was completely forced around the national media airwaves. I mean, Jalen Brunson has been a clutch player for a number of years now. All-NBA. He's going to be All-NBA again this year. Multi-time All-Star, and a guy who he averaged 30 points per game last year in the playoffs. So how we say that Cade just automatically is the guy, I thought it was continued disrespect against Jalen Brunson. But you know what? You got to give a lot of credit to Leon Rose, because when he got here, guys, I remember the back pages when Leon Rose got here, and it was, you know, the Knicks hire this super agent, and he's going to bring some former clients. And on the back pages, it was like Chris Paul, LeBron James,
superstar.
No one expected that the guy that was going to take this team to this point was Jalen Brunson. It's a classic New York story, man.
It really is. You didn't expect it either. I mean, none of us did. Who the hell would expect Jalen Brunson's going to turn into a legitimate, we're chanting at him on the road, flopper superstar that he's become?
Yeah, and that's the evolution, right? It started as the underdog, like, wow, this guy's really good, to now being a villain. You know, we're so used to talking about Nick killers. Jalen Brunson was the Detroit Piston killer, man, and he got the last laugh in Detroit. It was a storybook ending.
How much did they benefit from Cat fouling out? Mitch is on the floor. He impacts that Cade Cunningham wild attempt at a layup right before the Brunson three.
Yeah.
Do you think they benefited them that Mitch is out there and Cat's sitting there with the towel on his head?
I was screaming for Mitchell Robinson in the fourth quarter, and when he finally got in and altered the shot attempt, the layup attempt by Cade Cunningham, I was just screaming, Mitch, because, look, they cannot close games without Mitchell Robinson in the game. That if Tom Thibodeau is going to have to decide, is it Hart or is it Mikal Bridges that's going to sit down in crunch time? It's a tough decision. It's not easy, but they have to understand that when they go up against Boston or any team, Karl Anthony Towns is vulnerable, so is Jalen Brunson, and you have to make sure that you have most of your best defenders out there on the court to close out these games.
So is it crazy then for me to say the guy who should sit is Cat himself, especially if he's going to be non-existent offensively in the fourth quarter?
You know what? It's not a bad idea. All things on the table against the Celtics. I've thought about that a lot, Evan, especially when Mitchell Robinson was ramping up. Like, sometimes, I think I said it on the show when I was in studio with you guys, like, sometimes the best five might be substituting Karl Anthony Towns and putting Mitchell Robinson in there at the four with and playing OG at the five, sorry, and playing OG Anunoby at the four with Bridges and Harden Brunson. Or maybe it's McBride if he, you know, gets his head on straight. But that might be the sacrifice that the Knicks have to go to in order to get a win against Boston. The defense is going to have to be there.
Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound sarcastic and petty, but I really mean it. I mean it as a compliment. I do. I promise you.
There we go.
Mikal Bridges is taking a lot of heat, not from me, but from Knicks fans concerning, oh, my God, five first-round picks. Can you believe it? Don't you think that that tip-in on the Brunson miss is worth at least two first-round picks? He got you to the next round.
I'll tell you what, the dunk on Cade was worth the picks.
That's what Chadik was saying,
He didn't know he had that in him. We were looking for that all year. That is the New York grit. But, you know, like, in these playoffs, it's the little things. It's the hustle. It's the 50-50 balls that you have to get to. And give credit, man. Mikal Bridges was sensational. The putback tip-in was fantastic. He found his three-point shot. Jalen Brunson was feeding him. He had a cut to the basket that Jalen Brunson fed him to that ended up in the layup as well. So, you know, give a lot of credit to him. Hopefully you can see that a bit more consistently. They're going to need that against Boston. I continue to say that, you know, Mikal Bridges is the guy that can swing things for the Knicks in the positive direction. He's just got to be there for him on a nightly basis. And you know what? On that putback there, Evan, he got to that position because Jalen Durant was so focused on boxing out Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And that's the gravity. That's the impact of a Mitchell Robinson. You got to put a body on him, and that freed up Mikal Bridges for a nice putback.
Mitch made a hell of an impact. We're talking to CP, the franchise Knicks advance. They beat the Pistons last night, as we all know. Monday night in Boston, game one against the Boston Celtics. They begin that best of seven series. All right, how about this bench? Deuce McBride hasn't been great. Mitch has been very valuable. We haven't seen Tom Thibodeau expand the bench. Campaign, he plays a little bit. We saw him make a big impact in game one. Do you see Thibodeau impacting who he plays and how often he uses his bench in this upcoming series against the Celtics?
It's got to be an all hands on deck approach. And the problem is with Tibbs is he's such a, you know, creature of habit, if you will, that it's hard to see him really being ready to adjust on the fly. And you got to throw the kitchen sink at these guys. And right now, Deuce McBride, look, he needed to be the sixth man for these guys, be a 3-and-D player. And he's been brutal, man. He's brutal. He's not hitting his shots. Last night, his decision-making under duress was really bizarre, and so he had to come out of the game. Campaign, it's a flip of a coin what you're going to get from him. He had the 14 points in game one. He plays 5 minutes in game two, but the rest of the series, he was pretty average. And so, look, against Boston, who's going to let the three-pointers fly, I think Landry Shamet has to get a look because he's a guy, a high-volume three-point shooter that won't be scared to shoot. And maybe even a Delon Wright, who occasionally will knock down a three, but at 6'5", he's got some length, he's got some size, and you hope he can play some defense out there because they're going to need it as well. So Tibbs is going to have to go deep into that bench.
No doubt. You know, you look at the way Boston can kill you. They can kill you from three. We saw it in the regular season. The Pistons shot 24%, 28%, 27%. Cade Cunningham was not a threat making threes in this series at all. It is such a different animal going up against this Boston team, because it also felt like the Pistons had plenty of open looks throughout this series. They just didn't make their shots.
Yeah, see, and this is the complete difference when you're going up against a champ. So you're not going up against, you know, high-volume chuckers like Malik Beasley and Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, you're going up against 1-5 for Boston. They can let it fly. Yeah, Pritchard off the bench, Sam Hauser as well. And so that where the Knicks got in trouble in the Detroit series was the untimely turnovers that would lead to Detroit baskets. But with Boston, those untimely turnovers can turn into back-breaking, momentum-breaking threes. And before you know it, a three-point game it's a 13-point game before you blink. So the Knicks have to be very careful there. Boston's three-point octane offense definitely deserves respect. But it starts with Jason Tatum, man. Jason Tatum, you know, a lot has been made about Jalen Brunson, but Jason Tatum has been an MVP for Boston this year. He's been in complete control of his game. And, look, obviously you start with OG Anunoby on him, but the Knicks are going to be tested there with Tatum at the helm.
So what's your gut? As we get set, we got 3 days, so you got a few days to enjoy this. And I think today is mostly an enjoyment day, but obviously Monday night it all starts. What's your gut feeling on how this series plays out?
look, man, my heart wants to say Knicks in seven, but as an analyst, Evan, and
yes,
Tiki,
of course.
I think the way that, look, this Knicks team is very talented, but I don't believe they have the coaching edge in this series. I don't believe that they have the quality decision-making across the roster and the bench depth to beat Boston. They're going to have to play perfect games to get this done, but I do believe they will win some games. I'll go with Celtics in six.
Celtics in six. That's very fair. Look, one thing I respect about you is you call like it is. You call like I enjoyed. I did it this morning because last night I was in no mood to hear you guys gloat and be excited. So
you didn't watch last night?
No, this morning I went back on YouTube and I watched that. I needed some time, bro. So I watch it, and you guys do a great job, and you pop on. And what I thought I was so brilliant from you is the first 3 minutes, you're excited. And you should be, by the way. No one should rain on that parade. That was an incredible ending. And then as the excitement is ending, you're like, they almost blew this game. They almost choked. And I'm like, well said, bro, because that's exactly what happened. It's mixed emotions, right?
It is. It's mixed emotions, man. But, you know, that's the drawback. Look, we can enjoy the Brunson heroics and really praise him for what he's done for this team, and all that's good, but there's things that are just not there with this team to take them over the top this year. And like I said, from the coach to the execution in pressure situations by these guys, it's not always crisp, it's not always clean, and so that's why it's hard to put them over this Boston team, and the bench depth is also a negative.
No, I get it. We'll definitely talk next week, CP. Great work as always. Thank you very much for popping on today, my man.
Well, let me ask you one quick question.
Yeah,
man.
Of course.
Games 3 and 4 at the Garden, will you be in attendance, or are you going to be flipping your tickets and taking advantage of our fame here in the second round?
Couple of things I want to address. I was going to Game 7. I was set to go. Okay. I was ready. I was excited. My wife approved it. I was ready.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, your team took care of business. Here's my issue, and I honestly, because I think you at least understand where I'm coming from as a Nets fan. The Game 4 situation is very tricky because the lottery is that night. My whole season has been waiting for these freaking ping pong balls, and I don't know if I got the stomach to watch it happen like outside of Madison Square Garden or inside Madison Square Garden and then watch a playoff game after I'm relegated to the 7th pick in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, man? You know the Spurs are going to get it anyway. You can watch it on your phone. Come to the Garden. We'll be in the building, man. It'll be a good time.
All right. I'll keep you posted. Thank you, CP.
Fellas, have a great weekend, man. Thank you. Man.
CP, the franchise, definitely check him out on YouTube. Knicks Fan TV. He's been doing a great job on that for a couple of years. Yeah, the lottery night. I hate it. When I saw that schedule come out, I was like, I don't want it to be on lottery night. You understand what lottery night is? You do, Tommy. Remember 2019?
I understand it. But what I don't understand is whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Right. And the anxiety and the idea that you didn't want me to sit in the car with you, that's where you kind of take a turn for like...
I need to be alone. It's a very, you know, sensitive moment.
I know, but...
Intimate is the word you're looking
intimate.
For.
Intimate. Thank you, Sean. Yeah,
but intimacy aside, I think you kind of know what's going to happen. And I wouldn't rag on you. So I'm going to Game 3 now. So you and I will go to Game 4. So I'm going to Game 3 and 4.
Look, ragging on me is not possible. It's a lottery.
No, but
they don't have the worst record in the league, so it's nothing to be ragged about. No, it just sucks, that's all.
It'll be soul-crushing if you don't get it.
Honestly, Knick fans remember 19, and I still take a lot of heat for this, which I own, that I did this live podcast as the Knick lottery was going on, and I celebrated your demise. But the Knicks had the worst record in the league that year. The Nets, when they had the 70-loss season, the John Wall year, had the worst record in the league. There is something different about losing the lottery when you sat through a season in which you were clearly the worst team in the league. The Nets aren't good, but they weren't the worst team in the league. So I don't know if it's soul-crushing. I know that's probably what you want. I'll just be disappointed and woe is me and this sucks. But it is different, as Knicks fans know, and certainly I know, when you're the worst team. Because then it feels like we're the worst team and we couldn't end up with the top pick. It's a different animal.
So then what better way to lift your spirits than to walk into Madison Square Garden with myself, you'll hang out with CP, and you can watch the Knicks in a playoff game, something you know you don't know much about anymore, and watch the Knicks beat the Celtics. A New York sports moment. Why wouldn't you want that?
It'll be considered. It'll be considered. I'm considering it. Everything is on the table. Your calls, 888-808-1019. We'll get you set for the Met game tonight. We'll get you set for the Yankee game tonight on Jazz Chisholm basketball jersey night. But unfortunately, there's bad news around Jazz Chisholm and his immediate future. There was
Big basketball news earlier today, not involving the New York Knicks. You may have missed it, so I'll let you know what it was. Greg Popovich is moving upstairs, so he's done as head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Not a surprise considering the health issues he's gone through. And it got me thinking. Pop has been the head coach, or was the head coach, of the San Antonio Spurs since 1997. So clearly the longest tenured coach or manager in the four major sports. Clearly. Now I ask you, in each sport, except for hockey, because I don't think we care as much.
Yeah.
Who are the longest tenured coaches and managers in their respective sport? So let's start off with basketball, since Greg Popovich used to be number one. Sean Morash, who would be your guess?
Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra. Tommy Lugauer, your guess?
Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra is correct. Took over in 2008. And so he has been there. Think about how big of a difference that is between Pop and Spoelstra when Pop was 97. It's an 11-year difference between the number one guy with tenure followed by number two. And we'll see how long that lasts. Because not that I think Spoelstra is going to be fired. I'll give you a prediction. And I'm not going to write it down because I don't think enough people care. I think Spoelstra will move upstairs at some point. I think Pat Riley will retire. Spoelstra will go upstairs. He'll run the Miami Heat. He'll hire some other young head coach that he'll train to be the next great, you know, NBA head coach with all that Heat culture. So I think eventually that Spoelstra thing will end. Major League Baseball.
Oh, can I go first?
Yeah.
Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone.
Man. Like, it feels like it should be Boone, but there could be a random.
It is not Aaron Boone.
It's not Aaron Boone. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with. Ooh. Is it Dave Roberts?
It is Dave Roberts.
Okay.
Look at that. He took over in 2016, so Dave Roberts is the answer. And finally, the National Football League.
This is easy.
Yeah, this one's easy.
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin is the answer back in 2007. So not only is he the longest tenured in the NFL, he's the longest tenured in the four major sports. I can't imagine there's a hockey coach that's been around since before 07, right?
No. Sullivan might have been the longest tenured.
Mike Sullivan?
And now he's the coach of the Rangers.
Yeah, right. I got a lot of old tweets of you hating Mike Sullivan, who's the new head coach of the Rangers.
Never happened. I never said that.
You really want me to? Do you want me to read them?
I never said that.
I'll save it for the press conference day. And don't delete them, because they've already been screen grabbed.
Huh. Okay.
Let's go to Lisa in Garden City. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hey, Evan. Hi, Tiki. How you doing?
We are good. Tiki is out right now. He's actually running to make an airplane. He's going to Orlando for the weekend for a cheer competition. So best of luck to Tiki and the Barber family.
Okay. Well, that's fine, Evan. The question was really for you. So I was at the Mets game yesterday.
Yes.
And I don't know. I cannot stand Jesse Winker for this team, and I can't believe that he is the best person they have to DH.
I want to clarify something. Do you not like Jesse Winker as a baseball player, or Jesse Winker just as a human because of the punchable face and all that?
I guess kind of both, because I feel like my thing is his only job, right, when he hits the ball is to run, mm-hmm. and I've seen a number of times when he hits the ball and he thinks it's a home run. And even if it is a home run, to me, you should just run anyway. Like yesterday, he hit a double, but he thought it was a home run and didn't run. And they were behind by two. I just hate that when they do that, because that's like your only job.
Well, luckily, not luckily, because it kind of sucked. Pete Alonso was in front of him, and he couldn't score. So it didn't matter anyway. Double, he wasn't getting a triple, because Pete Alonso didn't attempt to score, nor would he have even able to. Jesse Winker, let's start with the personality.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And then we can get into the baseball stuff.
Okay.
He went from being such a douche, like such a hateable guy from the waving and the taunting. But as soon as he got here, like as soon as the Mets got him, and I heavily wanted him. I remember back in July when he hit a home run against the Mets to beat him 1-0 in a game on 4th of July. I was on the Rico saying, go get me this guy. He kills the Mets. He can't kill the Mets anymore if he's on the Mets. Go get Jesse Winker. So I wanted him, and it was immediate that I started liking him. He's got a big personality. The haterific stuff almost felt friendly now that he was a Met. So I've gotten over disliking Jesse Winker, but she does bring up a fair point, which is when we get to July, are we going to look at DH and say, come on, we could do better than Jesse Winker and Starling Marte? I think that is a very fair question. I'm not doing anything about it right now other than maybe giving more at-bats to McNeil at DH with Taylor in center and Acuna at second. And who knows, maybe Brett Beatty comes back. So I think there are some internal options at DH, but I totally get looking at Jesse Winker and Starling Marte and saying, boy, the Mets could be better at DH.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with Jesse Winker still giving you the pop off the bench and being that 10th guy off the bench at all. In fact, wasn't the main reason they traded for him last year for depth, or they traded for him mainly to be a DH? I'm forgetting.
Oh, ideally, he is a depth guy when you really think about it.
And he's typical, right? He's like P.J. Tucker, Sean Avery. He's a guy you hate on another team and love him when he's yours.
Yes, I started liking him instantly. And then someone tweeted over the weekend, nah, that was offensive. I'm not going to say it. Actually, I can say it.
Okay.
That the reason Brandon Nimmo drove in 9 runs is because he saw Jesus, and it was Jesse Winker with his hair out.
That's not offensive.
And he kind of looked like Jesus.
We're a week clear of Easter.
Oh, so if I said that a week ago, it would have been offended?
The antennas are up for Jesus lines then.
Well, look, I didn't create the line. It was just something that made me laugh when I saw it. Mario in Long Beach is very giddy on this Friday. How are you, Mario?
Good. How you doing? Great show as always.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, very, very good point, Evan. I got to give you credit on the Nick game with the cat going out. And then I didn't realize that Mitchell Robinson affected that shot by Cade, but he did.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing, and I give CP credit. So that's the thing that jumped out at me, that their defense was so improved with Mitch being out there and he affected the Cade shot. But it's a great point by CP that even on the Bridges tip-in, that Mitchell Robinson causing Durant to be more over towards him also made an impact on that play. So, yeah, bottom line was, Cat fouling out really benefited the Knicks on those two huge possessions.
Excellent. Can I have one more point? It gives me 25 seconds.
Go.
Got it? Okay. He said about them being disrespectful about saying Cade Cunningham and is better than Brunson. Remember he said that?
Yeah.
And a couple of things you said, like when you said that you think Cade Cunningham could be better than Brunson.
Yes.
There is no factual evidence, though. That's complete complete supposition. If you really look, already Brunson's NBA Clutch Player of the Year. The first four games of the series, he had 30 points and 7 assists. That's nobody ever did that in the history of the NBA. Last year, he had 40 points in the playoffs against Philly. Four games in a row, second of all time, tied him with Jordan and Bernard King, and number one was Jerry West. Thanks for taking my call. I'll listen
to
your
difference between what I said about Cunningham and Brunson and the national media, specifically a guy like Michael Wilbon, who I like, but I remember him saying it, the best player in the series is Cade Cunningham, is what I was saying is Cade Cunningham will pass Jalen Brunson at some point. Not in the moment. I was never trusting a guy with zero playoff experience over a guy that had already created a reputation as being an incredibly clutch postseason performer.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham had to get his Huggies off in the series, and that's it. He's got him now. Next year will be a big year. We have more expectations as a Pistons fan.
And that's my point, and that's the bet I have with you, Tommy. It's not right now. Of course it's Jalen Brunson right now. It's, hey, in 2030, because Cade's 23 years old. And so my supposition, is that what he said?
Supposition.
Yeah, no, I'm using his word, even if it doesn't make sense in this context.
This is what you need, Tiki.
Yeah. Tiki would be like, no, yes, actually, you got that right. My theory is, at 23 years old, Cade Cunningham is an ascending player. And so we haven't seen the best of him. I think we're seeing the best of Jalen Brunson, and it's marvelous. I don't mean any knock on it. I think he is what he is. He's an incredibly good player. He's probably a top 10 player in this league who elevates his game in the postseason, who's bailed the Knicks out numerous times, and Cade Cunningham is an ascending player where we don't know where his ceiling is. And that's why in 2030, Tommy and I, wherever he is, wherever I am, we are going to play the audio of our long-term bet, and we're going to find out who's the better and had the better career.
If you hadn't made that bet with me, I was going to get on you. Because I feel like you were doing a little of a dirty trick there.
What?
Where you really wanted to say Cade is better right now than Jalen Brunson, but you allowed yourself the out of, no, he's going to be better than him in 5 years. So by making the bet with me, we're clear. But yeah, Cade looked like he wasn't ready for the moment. He was John Starks-esque. I love you, John, but he was 0 for 8 from 3 last night. And in the big moment, Jalen Brunson shined like he always did.
23 years old, first postseason clear star player of his team.
He was also the number one overall pick, so the expectations are a lot higher.
I don't care about that.
But
that
is true. No, no, come on, Evan.
He should be better. He should be better than Brunson within 5 years, based on where he
doesn't mean he will be. But he was the number one overall pick.
I'm talking in terms of this postseason and why I looked at his failure and say this is the beginning.
I'm also saying long term.
Yeah, long term. Well, we'll see. But Jalen Brunson has already far exceeded where he was picked. Like, you're right, the expectations on Cunningham, especially if you're in Detroit, are through the roof. You get picked number one overall, the thought is you're a franchise-defining player. Brunson's already blown past his expectations for where he was drafted. So that doesn't matter anymore. It's strictly who's going to be the better player in 5 years, and the only out I gave myself was I wasn't trusting a 23-year-old player in his first postseason, which is why I said to you, whether you believe me or not, I thought the Knicks were going to win in five.
I believe you.
I was wrong. I was close.
You're close.
I was very close.
We were all close with our predictions because it could have went seven. It went six. It could have went five.
Have you decided? Now, we're not doing this yet. I want to make that clear.
Okay.
Have you decided yet? Because CP earlier said Celtics in six. That's his pick. I got him on the record. He will be a part of our little group here. On Monday, we're going to go around the room with our predictions. Have you decided what you're going to say?
Yes, but to defend my guy CP a little bit, you have him on record, which you do. You wrote it down. You'll have me play the audio clip. But he did tell you it was a head-heart kind of thing. And he was saying, he said, my heart is this and my head is one.
Hold on. You make predictions based on your head. His official prediction was Celtics in six.
Official prediction. So but he did say, I want to say Knicks in seven, he said.
Okay, so is that what you're going to do? You're going to follow the script?
Don't worry about what I'm going to do.
He's setting it up. He's going to make a prediction with heart, and he'll say that afterwards. By the way, that was my heart saying that.
But
so we're getting this on the record. You're using your head to make this prediction.
But the contradiction Tommy has is when we made our Mets and Yankees predictions, he picked the Mets to win 120 games.
Which they're on pace for.
That's no, they're not.
They are.
That's not a head prediction. That's a I'm-going-to-go-crazy prediction. That's not a head prediction. So how come with the Knicks you got to use your noggin, but with the Mets it's, you know, oh, they're going to win 120 games? I'm noticing a difference between the way you handle your two children.
Because he's thinking long-term, short-term. Long-term, the Mets, he doesn't have to worry about that until October and he can come up with some kind of plan. He may have to answer for his prediction in a week and he doesn't have time to think anything out.
I've also given about 18 different predictions on this series.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I need to break some news. I'm very excited.
You need me to break the glass?
Okay.
No, it's personal. But yeah, you can break the glass if you want.
Hold on a second here. It's personal.
So I love doing this show. I do. You know, afternoon drive, WFN, New York City. It's a freaking dream come true. One of the drawbacks of it is that I got kids, and they're playing Little League. And so my son, Jet, is involved
Mets
in a
suck.
Thank you, Jet. My son, Jet, is playing a Little League game, and it sucks to miss the beginning of it. I'm probably going to miss, like, all of it, but I'm racing over after our show is over, and I'll see the last inning or two. The new technology that they have is that there's an app where I can watch the game, not video-wise, but, like, on my phone, I've got a running box score.
You got, like, a game cast.
And I got to give my boy credit. Jet drew a walk.
All right.
There you go.
Another candidate for King of New York.
And his team, the ONS Orthopedics, are leading Uncle Henry's by a score of 2-0.
So he walked, right?
He drew a walk.
Man, he really does love Juan Soto.
To be fair,
though,
next. Have you seen the team ERA of Uncle Henry's?
Why, is it bad?
Erratic pitching, Evan. They cannot find the strike zone.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to look at. So you got a ball one, ball two. Strike one swinging. Wow, a little aggressive
he
on 2-0.
You're going to have a talk with him tonight.
Then 2-1, strike two looking. Ball three, ball four.
Could you? This is where you give Jack credit.
That's my boy.
Doesn't take the pitch too well. Then takes the pitch 2-1. Could you imagine the nerves for a kid like that with a 2-2 count going, oh my God, did I blow this at bat? Gets the ball he needs and then still draws the walk. That is, you could put yourself in the mental place, a great plate appearance for him.
Excellent job, Jet. I'm so
Mets
proud
suck.
Of you. And I'm so proud that they give these apps because I can't be the only person. I'm sure there's a dad and a mom in a car right now saying, I can't see my kid's Little League game. This sucks. The fact that they supply this is like the craziest thing.
You know why I like it?
Why?
Because down the line, we all lie about our Little League stats and everything else. Now there's a sheet of integrity.
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
You know, like, when you're 15, oh, I was a star back then. Oh, were you? Let me do a little Google search.
Damn, you're right. Jet can never say 15 years from now, oh, yeah, I hit 355 ONS Orthopedics.
We could lie out our teeth.
That's right. Let's go to Dave in Smithtown. How are you, Dave?
Hey, guys, you know, first of all, the longest tenured NHL coach is John Cooper with the Lightning in 2013. But because I'm a hockey guy, but, you know, it's funny with Popovich. Now, obviously, he's the type of guy, he got to walk away on his own because he won so much. You know, having Duncan and Robinson, that was a big help, too.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously, Brian Cashman's another example, someone who'll probably be able to walk away on his own. But it got me to thinking, you know, there's something to be said for patience, you know. And I'll give the Rangers as an example. You know, Mike Sullivan's a proven winner. You know, unless they're missing the playoffs year after year, if they play decent enough, even with Aaron Glenn, they need to keep these guys here for a couple of years. Because the more things change, the more they remain.
But Dave, keep this in mind, though, about Pop. So when Pop took over for Hill in 1997, they sucked and they were sort of tanking that year. Yeah. That's when David Robinson got hurt. They ended up winning the lottery. They got Tim Duncan. The following year, they won 56 games. And then the year after that, they won the NBA title. So it really didn't take a lot of patience with Pop, and a lot of that is the luck of the lottery by winning Tim Duncan. So it's not like he had that many bad seasons before it finally hit.
You know what's crazy? I never thought this until Dave just said it. So Pop was the longest tenured head coach, and obviously he got off the ground running because he had Duncan and Robinson. And now it's Eric Spoelstra who had Duncan Robinson.
You're so stupid.
It's true.
No, it is true. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, next on SNY. Mets play later tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm very excited. This is what I love about the baseball season, the everyday nature of it. Because I'm annoyed that the Mets lost yesterday. I know that may sound irrational. They played really well.
Two in a row, by the way.
They've lost two in a row. That's what I was about to say. They not only have lost two in a row, they lost a series at home for the first time since the middle of August. And it's easy to say, it's baseball. Don't worry about it. It bothered me. What I love is that later tonight, much later, because I'm racing to my kids' Little League game, we're going to go out for the ice cream.
Okay.
And then there's a big wrestling figure event that we have scheduled. So I'm probably not starting the Met game till midnight.
That's a big night.
It's a big night.
Soft serve or hard scooped?
You know, it's a good...
Well, it depends on the place you're going. You would know the place you're going to.
You know what's crazy? It's so funny you say that, Sean. Other than Citi Field, I don't remember the last time I've taken my kids out for, like, real ice cream. Because usually...
Where are you going for ice cream?
Usually we buy the ice cream at the store and it's at home.
I gotcha.
So when I take them to Carvel or Haagen-Dazs,
right,
or wherever the heck we go... Do you have a preference, by the way, between the two?
I'm a big Carvel guy, but if you go Carvel, it's going to be soft serve.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love soft serve.
Yeah,
I mean, the other night... And thank you, Sean. Sean did something for me that Lugie's never done. When I took Sean to the Met game, Sean said, I got you on ice cream.
Oh, you're special.
No, but this is even better.
I just offered you something the other day. But go ahead.
Did you?
The other day when we all went to the game, I said, I'm going to get some food. Evan, would you like something now?
You're right.
To
Good
be
call.
Fair, yeah. I could have just got you something and brought it back.
No. Because that's being too forceful.
Really?
That's something that Ray Martell did for us. He came back with a big bowl.
Helmet for the 14th time.
What is it, his house?
No. Helmet nachos, Evan.
He came with a big helmet of nachos. And it was like, we didn't ask for that. Isn't that a little too much? So no, you asked me and I apologize. But the best part about Sean is he's like, hey, do you want anything? I said, yeah, I probably want ice cream.
Okay.
I said, but the problem, Sean, is that I don't want to get up. So I appreciate the offer, but I don't want to get up. And Sean's like, no, I'll get it for you. And I said, how are you going to get it for me? It's a lot of ice creams. You're going to have an ice cream. I'm going to have an ice cream. Like, how are you going to carry it? And he's like, don't worry. I got someone coming with me to carry the ice creams. And so not only did Sean go get me the chocolate ice cream in the Met cup with the sprinkles, but he had Paul Rosenberg, who fills in around here, does a great job, carry the ice cream back.
Oh, but yeah, part of the story is true. I gave Paul Rosenberg my debit card, and he went with Rami to get the ice cream.
Oh, so you never even went to get the ice cream?
No, I didn't get out of my seat.
That's an Evan move.
They carried our ice cream back, but part of the deal was I'm buying your ice cream.
That's such an Evan move. I would totally do that. Like, hey, Tommy, I'm going to buy you a beer.
Yep.
I got you, bro. I'm going to get you chicken fingers, too. Oh, great. Thanks, Dad. Can you go pick it up? Here's my credit card.
Of course. Exactly. Yep,
that's definitely
did.
From the Evan playbook.
That is so my playbook.
That's what I did.
And what's wrong with that, by the way?
Nothing. They got free ice cream out of it, too. I took care of everybody. They just had to make the walk.
By the way, I am stunned. So I'm watching my kids' Little League game via box score. They called an error on somebody. I didn't know they had errors for eight-year-olds.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is it Jets position?
No. It's against the other team.
Oh, okay.
So somebody, here's the worst part. Somebody didn't get a hit. They got on base because of an error.
The official score just changed it to a hit. Don't worry.
They better.
How do you not give a kid a hit?
No.
What do you mean no?
You guys,
an eight-year-old, you got to give them a hit.
I don't want to hear it out of you two after you fought about Max Fried's no-hitter. That's an error, and I don't want to hear the end of it.
Here's the difference. The whole nine.
So my kid hits off me in the backyard.
Sure.
Now he's facing other 8-year-olds. It's a very tough adjustment.
Yeah.
He's even told me. He's like, it's tougher to hit these kids because they're throwing the ball all over the place.
They're wild, right?
If you make contact and you get to first base when you're 8, different when you're 9 and 10, 8 years old, you get a hit.
Of course.
Come on, man.
How do you teach these kids adversity in the field?
No, you're...
That's not acceptable, what you did in the field.
It's adversity because you didn't get the guy out.
No, right. You're thinking too much about the hitter. The fielder has to know they effed up.
How about you give an error to the fielder, but you allow the kid to have a base hit so their batting average exists?
I am so ashamed of you.
You know what? I got the tiebreaker.
You, Mr. Scorebook, want that?
I got the tiebreaker guy.
All right.
Tierney.
Oh, he's
Tierney
Mr.
would tie. First sports. Of all, he's a tough ass, but he's also like a really good baseball coach.
I agree.
And he's thoughtful and he's sweet. If you, and you preface 8-year-olds and you say, BT, are you calling errors in the scorebook on an 8-year-old? I would put it this way. Even if he says error, I'll say, all right, he knows more than me about this. I respect it.
Yeah, what do you want the 8-year-old to come home and tell his parents I reached base on an error? Well, that's ridiculous. Just give the kid a hit. And then go from there. And the guy who boot have extra drills in practice.
This is how you end up with whiny, uptight brats as teenagers. They got to learn to battle
adversity. They're 8 years old. It's not that big
of a deal. They got to take their losses early.
It's not a loss. It's giving them a hit.
No, the kid in the field has to know. You got to field the ball cleaner.
I'm with you about the kid in the field. No. I'm not with you about the batter.
No, because then you're rewarding a kid that didn't get a hit. He should have been out. The kid knew how to play the field.
You got to ask BT on Monday. Let him be the tiebreaker.
Nah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to present it to him on Monday. I'm not even going to text him because I don't think it like gives it its proper context. BT will break the tie. And we will respect his answer.
Okay. Yes,
dude, the guy's like a youth baseball czar.
I agree with you.
I'm good with what he says.
I'll accept it. I'll argue with him, but I'll accept it.
You're going to argue with him?
I had
it. In
enough.
That case?
You sound like a parent that puts up a pinata has already pulled a string. Can we get the hit?
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.